And welcome back to Coast. Jim Fetzer, our guest. We'll take your phone calls. Jim, as we look at all this, you know what's also fascinating is still the polarization of this issue. It's still a hot issue, and it still shows me how divided the country is over this.
Well, it has a psychological dimension, George, because the very idea that the government that's supposed to protect you might in fact be abusing you, it's a lot like incest. It's something that is so traumatic, it's so devastating to contemplate, that you know how many mothers deny that it's even taking place. In this case, it's so many citizens even deny that it's taking place because they're petrified at the ramifications. Psychologists call it cognitive dissonance, when there are beliefs that threaten your previous beliefs and you find it impossible to reconcile them, and denial becomes the role that you adopt.
It's almost as if it is true, we don't want to know it.
That's right. But we have to know. It's like cancer, okay? That claim that what you don't know can't hurt you has never been more false. This government has fallen into the hands of gross abusers. They're committing incest on the nation on a grand scale, and if we don't stop them, we are going to suffer the ravages. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Let's take some calls and other views. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
Good.
Hi, George.
Oh, this is Lisa and Victor.
Yes
from Wing TV. Welcome to the program.
Thanks,
thank
George.
You.
Wanted to bring you two on also very briefly just to express your views. I know you know Jim Fetzer quite a bit, and you've really devoted most of both your careers to this issue. Based on some of the things you've heard tonight, what do you think?
Well, George, everything they've said is so right on the mark, and I want to go back to a quote that Morgan Reynolds says. He says, we can convict them in court of law. Our evidence is strong enough. Right now, we have the awareness, we have the proof. It's time now to start taking action and doing something about this, to get this into a court of law and convict the people that were behind it.
And do you want to know something else, too? We don't have to use any conspiracy theory to do this, because we have Galileo and Isaac Newton on our side. The truth can stand on its own two feet.
Right, and our biggest fear, George, is that this case is going to become like the John F. Kennedy case. Everybody knows that Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't the lone nut assassin, but not one single individual who was responsible for Kennedy's assassination was convicted. We need to get the people behind this convicted. Jim Fetzer gave a whole string of names. I agree with every single one of them that he said. We need these people in a court of law, and we need to convict them.
Well, and unlike the Kennedy assassination, where most of these documents are sealed for the next zillion years, can we get to these kind of documents that might be needed?
Well, we can not only get to the documents, I believe, if there's some kind of court order, but just using the physics, along with Stephen Jones, Morgan Reynolds, David Ray Griffin, Jim Fetzer, and so many other independent researchers, if we bring this into a court of law, I guarantee 100% that there can be conviction.
Well, and as both of you feel, too, the science of this is very important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And we must stress that the government has not brought forth any solid proof of any of its allegations regarding 9/11.
Yeah, and
absolutely none.
And one other thing we'd like to also stress is that this fall in September is going to be the fifth anniversary of 9/11. This is a big one. We'd like everybody to show their outrage with the lies that have been perpetrated and come to ground zero, come to the emotional epicenter. Last year we were there for the fourth anniversary, and the reception we got was phenomenal. People wanted to know the truth, and we need you, George, and all of the different independent media sources out there to spread the word and say, let's make a strong showing at ground zero. Let's get tens of thousands of people like there was at the White House last September 24th, when there was approximately 250 to 300,000 people protesting the war.
And we feel this is very important, because this administration is going to scatter once their time is up in the White House, and there are going to be new puppets in place. And these people are going to scatter to the winds, and our time is short.
Yeah, and we can't give Jim Fetzer enough credit. His group now,
absolutely,
Scholars for 9/11 Truth, has become the lightning rod. This is the best hope we've had yet, and we just hope that Jim, along with us and everyone else in the media, can push this forward to get people ground zero and get this case in a court of law.
You're making people's eyes open up, and I think that's important.
Right. We thank you very
Thanks.
Much, George.
Appreciate
for what
you being
doing.
On the show.
Thank you.
Jim,
thank
with, you, with you and your group, has anybody had their positions threatened or anything like that because you've taken such a strong stance on this?
Well, fortunately, the University of Minnesota has always been very supportive of all my research on JFK. What I must say in relation to Lisa and Victor's mild optimism, I'm apprehensive that this administration is not going to relinquish power, that they're going to use the occurrence of another contrived terrorist attack in order to suspend the Constitution, that they're trying to undermine the Posse Comitatus law by all sorts of subtle techniques. I believe what happened with Katrina, I mean, they knew for days Katrina was going to hit, and yet somehow FEMA fumbled the ball. How could that possibly happen? FEMA was a marvel of the world under Bill Clinton. They could have made all kinds of responses. I believe they wanted to send in the military to make it look as though only the military could cope with a situation like this. It's the sort of thing they suggested regarding bird flu and having quarantines. They've suggested the military. This is a role the military should never play in American society.
You know, Jim, Bill Clinton wasn't a saint on all this either. I mean, a lot of things happened on his watch.
Oh, but I'm talking about FEMA being the marvel of the world when Clinton was in office. That FEMA was admired. It was rapid response to natural disasters. No, Clinton was no saint. But my God, I mean, what's gone on in this administration? I mean, this is raping and pillaging and looting the country, even the world, George. It's a shocking situation.
Next up, east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi there. Good morning, George.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I just have a quick question. As citizens watching this happen to us, what can we do, Jim? Well, how can citizens, besides, you know, talk about it and bring it aware of it, what can we do to prepare for this?
Well, there are two or three things I would suggest. Number one, this man, this administration has committed so many impeachable offenses that if the Congress had any guts, any integrity, any intestinal fortitude, any commitment to the Constitution, he would have been subjected to an impeachment a long time ago. Number two, what that means is the Congress has to be reconstituted. The Congress has been co-opted. The Congress is completely corrupt. You have to vote, whether they're Democrat or Republican, vote every one of them out of office unless they can justify being returned, and you better have very stringent standards for that. Number three, if you're using electronic voting machines, you can forget it. They're all controlled by Republican corporations. They're dirty. They manipulate the vote. These guys learned from Stalin, who said it doesn't matter who casts the votes. What matters is who counts them. Those electronic voting machines, and I'm an expert in this field, are so easily contrived, it's ridiculous. This is shameful. And anyone who tells you that those electronic voting machines without paper trails are a good thing is denying you your democratic right to cast your vote. They are traitors to the country. Take my word for it. And finally, I believe that if there's an effort made to remove this party from office, they're going to resist it, and they're going to attempt to use the American military against the American people. I have therefore come around to the belief that the Second Amendment may be our most precious amendment, that every American should be willing to fortify his own country, because we may have to undergo a second American revolution.
I take it you're not a Republican, Jim.
George, I would be rightly described as a liberal in the sense that liberals believe that everyone deserves representation, not just the rich. This administration has become so warped, so corrupt, it's violated every principle for which the Republican Party has ever traditionally stood. When I was growing up, my father, who studied politics at UCLA, told me Republicans believe in balanced budgets, they believe in constitutional government, they believe in a non-interventionist foreign policy, they believe in keeping government out of your personal life. This administration has violated every single one of those principles. I cannot understand why any Republican of any integrity would support this Bush clique in this administration, which has perverted the Constitution and is turning the country into a cesspool.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to calm down on this now, okay? And to take some of these questions, because I think you're getting too involved in it tonight. Is that fair?
Yep.
Wild Card Line, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi. I'm Bruce. I'm in L.A.
Hi, Bruce.
His passion is fine because my passion is just as equal. I got to tell you, your argument, sir, is completely senseless. It's all across the board. You have no continuity, no logic, and you contradict yourself repeatedly.
Well, you want to give an example?
I'm going to give you several.
Good.
Okay. The neoconservatives planned and carried out 9/11, according to you. But you then go back and say that the Soviet Union was something that, because it collapsed, they needed something else, right? Well, Ronald Reagan was a conservative. He's the one that made the Soviet Union collapse. He's a conservative, so I don't get...
Well, Ronald Reagan wasn't a spokesman for the military-industrial complex. I mean, he may have served purpose.
He was back when he was in office, they warned us to the lid.
Well, may I answer your question?
Yeah.
Eisenhower warned us about the accumulation of excessive power by the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that once the Soviet Union had disappeared...
Because of Reagan.
Which the CIA, by the way, did not predict, notwithstanding that we're paying it vast sums of money, there was a need here to find some new rationale.
But you're not addressing what
I said. Into the military-industrial complex. I'm not saying the same individual persons were involved, but I am saying the same institutional interests were involved.
Right, but you're saying the same philosophy, but you're not making sense because... You're saying that the Soviet Union was the boogeyman and we needed a new one. But the same people that you're blaming now is the same philosophy, same party, the same conservative outview that made the Soviet Union collapse.
I think you better read the Project for the New American Century, because they lay out their blueprint perfectly for creating a new American empire, and they explain that there's a unique opportunity here. You can find it also outlined in Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard. Zbigniew sketches the same idea of America becoming a colossus astride of the world. This was nothing that was contemplated in Reagan's day or prior to that. It's a neocon philosophy they've sought to implement.
Right,
they
right,
knew
right.
They needed a precipitating event,
in order to bring
the American people to be willing to make the sacrifices, both financial, monetary, and in terms of human sacrifice, of their young men and women to make it happen. They needed 9/11.
All right, here's a question. The first World Trade Center attack, you claimed, was all part of this to soften it up. Bill Clinton was president. How did the neocons get past Billy Boy to do that?
Morgan made that observation, and he and I might or might not agree with that. I'm talking about 9/11 now.
Where's Barbara Olson?
Listen, fella, can you change the laws of nature?
We're
that melting point of steel is 2,800 degrees
right,
Fahrenheit.
Right, but that doesn't point to
the
any individual.
The temperature fires 1,800 degrees. Do you understand they've been lying to us?
Right, but what you're talking about the physics.
Do you understand they've been lying to us? Do you agree that the Twin Towers came down through a controlled demolition and not by the impact of fire and flames?
What you're saying is that's nature or that's physics, but physics is physics, but that doesn't make certain individuals responsible for those physics.
Well, who do you think was covering it all up? Did George Bush and Dick Cheney try to get to the heart of the matter, or did they try to conceal it and resist an even investigation of it?
Maybe some of it's national security, and it's not a cover-up. It's just, you know, when you're fighting a war against...
They wouldn't even testify under oath. I mean, you really aren't paying attention. They resisted this. They wouldn't have even had an investigation except for pressure brought by the families of the survivors.
I see. Kind of like when the Clinton administration, your favorite, who went and who was president during the first World Trade Center, went and killed all those women and children in Texas at Waco.
Oh, I think that was a very despicable act.
Thank you.
Waco, Ruby Ridge... whatever happened in Oklahoma City, but what we're talking about tonight is 9/11. I'm not trying to exonerate Bill Clinton. I'm implicating the Bush administration.
All right, let's move on to some other callers. Gosh, this hour's almost already gone. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Tony, and I'm listening to you on the AM morning waves. I'm a first-time caller.
You're out in Pennsylvania.
I'm calling from Bedford, Pennsylvania.
Sure.
20 miles from Indian Lake. I had my 20th high school reunion there and grew up in Somerset Borough, the seat of Somerset County. I know all the people, Wally Miller, the coroner, and everybody who was out there in the crash and investigated it and combed the land. And there are a lot of questions, and it doesn't seem like it was a plane wreck that necessarily went whole into the ground. People around here do question
the official story.
But to suggest that it is a cover-up in the sense of, a conspiracy to bring down the government brought on by the Bush administration, I find difficult to believe. In fact, I think that the guy and everybody under him are idiots. And that we And all of your comments and your guest comments tonight presume one thing, that the government, because of who they are and where they are, know everything and are capable of doing this. And that is a cult of personality. I think George Bush, whenever, before he sold the Texas Rangers, was a bust. And he rises to power through modern media and being the selected one. We didn't go to war to Iraq before George Bush got in because the Republican Congress wouldn't let it. George Bush was a neophyte. And Al Gore would have won the presidency with the Middle East blown up in Iraq. There's a reason why. And I think 9/11 was simply a bunch of bumbling idiots. And the characterization of bin Laden being the mastermind, he okayed a general plan, and the mechanisms and the, you know, how to go about it was done on the field in modern countries, Germany, France, the Middle East, UAE. And so they took advantage of the American weakness of the cult of personality. But what I will agree with you on is that I think that the neoconservatives have taken 9/11 and have now usurped it or used it for ulterior purposes and to achieve foreign policy objectives that they could not win in an open debate pre-9/11. And that is where we are becoming victims.
You want to react to this, Jim, before the break?
Well, I'll take the good. I couldn't quite sort out the rest of it. I mean, you know, you can look at what's going on here as a lot of bumbling incompetence like Katrina. You can look at the Iraq. I mean, what a mess we're in Iraq. You can look at the absurdity now of bringing this United Arab Emirates company into looking after our ports. What are they going to propose next? That our nuclear power plants be placed at the disposal of the bin Laden family? I mean, there's a long history here of George W. Bush being in the Bush family being in business with Saudi Arabia. There's a very important book called House of Bush, House of Saud that every American ought to read. Just go on Google and read the summary from Publishers Weekly, and it'll send a chill up your spine.
All right, stay with us, but I'll tell you one thing. If we were in China, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. You'd hear just that. Stay with us. Jim Fetzer, our guest. We'll take the rest of your phone calls, our final phone calls, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie, and again,